This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Jeff Bezos looking into buying the Washington Commanders with Jay-Z.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
The Rock's in the building. You crazy for this one, Jeff?
Three quarters for ownership. Would have to approve this sale.
Yo, Goodell.
Earlier on the show, Saints defensive end Cameron Jordan. Dolphins wide receiver Tyreek Hill. Still to come. From Paramount Plus's Criminal Minds Evolution, actor Joe Mantegna. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Yes, hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air right here on the Roku channel, channel 210, for those who are checking us out on all Roku devices, Samsung Smart TVs, Amazon Fire TVs, every single mobile device that you can put the download the Roku app on. Guess what? We're free there. The RokuChannel.com. We are free there. We're free on Sirius and XM. When you get us on Sirius XM, it's awesome on the Odyssey app. The Rich Eisen Show terrestrial radio affiliate, guess what? Free. We love it. Our podcast, check us out. That's free. YouTube.com/Rich Eisen Show. Guess what? Free. We love it. We love being everywhere, and we absolutely adore the fact that we can bring you the best guests like Tyreek Hill last hour, Cam Jordan of the Saints in hour number one, and turning to my right, joining us here back on the Rich Eisen Show, back here to talk about Criminal Minds. Criminal Minds Evolution premieres with two episodes on Thanksgiving Day on Paramount Plus exclusively. And guess what? You can get Paramount Plus right here on Roku. Thrilled to have back here on the program, Joe Mantegna. How you doing, Joe?
I'm doing great, Rich.
Good to see you, man. I'm doing great.
I thought I was the best dad ever. I guess
not. I don't know. You know, I've got the sign here. I feel like I am, but you know, I don't discount your candidacy.
I'm a close runner up. That's all I can say.
Yeah, you know? we're neck and neck.
We're neck and neck.
How does that sound?
I'll go for that.
Hey, man. I guess when you were here to promote Criminal Minds the last time, I honestly thought next time I'd see you'd be promoting something else. But it's unbelievable. How does this show stay alive like it has? Right.
I don't know, but I don't look a gift horse in the mouth. You know what I mean? God bless it. It's we're back. I mean, 2.5 years we were away, and I put it to sleep. You know,
right.
You know, I've been doing my longest running character is Fat Tony on The Simpsons. I've been doing that for 31 years now, I think. And I thought, okay, that's a good run with that, and that'll be the one that,
sure.
You know.
That's your bonanza?
That's the one. That's my bonanza, exactly. But then all of a sudden we get the call saying, you know what, the syndication on Criminal Minds is, you know, literally, I think the bulk of my fan mail comes from China and Germany and all these various places around the world. Mm-hmm. And I think it became apparent that the show really has legs all over the planet. And so I think the powers that be said, hey, maybe we can do more of these. And so we are.
Right. And so was this in a way fan driven where fans were like, let's do more of it?
Or I think that certainly has to have a lot to do with it. I mean, let's face it. It's a business. And at the end of the day, the business people like to see that, you know, there were a lot of eyes that are looking at these episodes.
Right.
And sometimes over and over and over I run in. And I think in a way, the whole COVID thing, I mean, around the world, in a way, kind of probably forced a lot of people to binge watch a lot of different things, and especially certain age groups and stuff like that. A lot of college age people, you know, I think became, you know, got into the show on a big way. I must have got about 150, 200 invitations to college girls' graduations.
Is that right?
Yeah. I mean, and they would often say, because of your show, you know, we would binge watch it, and now I want to go into, you know, that line of work, whether it's the FBI or law enforcement.
David Rossi can give a graduation commencement address or something like that?
I guess so, yeah.
Fantastic. Well, let's take a look, because the trailer just dropped, as the kids might say, well. Here's the trailer of Criminal Minds Evolution. Again, premieres with two episodes on Thanksgiving Day on Paramount Plus, with new episodes dropping weekly on Thursdays. Paramount Plus, again, right here on Roku. Check it out.
16 dead bodies in a buried shipping container.
These aren't just connected cases. This is a serial killing network.
The BAU is different.
Where others see monsters, we see patterns.
This is the biggest case we've ever had. If there's something to find, I swear to you, we will find it.
Thanksgiving Day, man. Check it out on Paramount Plus. What was it like when the cast all got back together for the first time?
It was, you know, it was like a family reunion. It was great. I mean, we all pretty much stayed in touch.
Sure.
It's a really tight group. You know, we'd do these text threads and all that kind of stuff over the last couple of years. But it's been really, really great. And what's weird is we're back in the same studio. I mean, they rebuilt all the stuff, you know, the jet and the this and the that. It's the same, but a little different, you know, which is why it's evolution.
I love it. Evolution. Yeah. Criminal Minds, again, evolution. All right. So you want to talk about your Bears right now?
No.
Well, I mean, no, yeah. I think there's some positive. I'm seeing some positives
no,
here.
No.
Right?
I mean, well, you know, we'll see. Again, it's that whole, you know, the quarterback thing. You know, will this be the guy? And I don't know. I mean, I still go back to, you know, Zeke Bratkowski and Ed Brown.
Right.
You know, so, and it's been a long, long, long journey since then. Since I was a kid.
Right.
But, you know, hey, the Bears are the Bears are the Bears. And, you know, we still have, being a Cub fan and a Bears fan, it's the cross I bear, you know. So I have 85 for the Bears and I have 2016 for the Cubs. And, I'll live with that.
How would the Swirsky clan, what would they think of Eberflus? What would they think of the name Eberflus?
Yeah.
What do you think of that? You make a meal with that one, don't
right,
you?
Right, exactly. That was that. They wrote that original skit for me when I hosted Saturday Night Live back in 91. You know, so
91? That skit is...
Yeah. 91. And we did it as like, they said, hey, he's from Chicago. So we do the skit and, you know, we're talking like this, the Bears, and, you know, overhearing you guys over there. And I remember even, I was giving Chris Farley tips on how to sound like he was from Chicago. You know, he'd asked me, he says, well, how would you do it? I said, well, Chris, you just got to do like this, you know, I mean, turn your things into D's and, you know, like that. And so he did a great job with that. But we had no idea it was going to be what it became. I mean, we did this skit that night, and then the next day, people were calling me from Chicago saying, hey, man, they've been playing this nonstop on the radio. And then the next time I go in Chicago, they had billboards that said, the Bears, the Cubs, the Sox, the Paul University. Everything was the
Paul.
Yeah.
I never even thought about that.
Yeah, they had the Paul University. So I said, okay, I guess this resonated with
a lot of legs. People. You did it multiple times, right?
I did it, yeah. Well, they would always ask me to come back. George Wendt did it quite a bit more than I did because George, he had finished with Cheers. He had, you know, and so for him, it was great to do something else.
Sure.
But I was in L.A. I was working at the time, and they would say, hey, we're doing the skit again this week. You want to come in? I said, hey, you know, I fly to New York just to go to the Bears, you know, for half an hour. But I did do another time. I happened to be in New York, I think, when Danny DeVito was hosting. We did it.
DeVito.
Yeah, DeVito. So, but I'm happy to have been a part of that original kind of thing that created that whole.
Did you ever run into Ditka? You ever run into him?
Oh, yeah.
And have a did he bring this up or no, not really? He's so unaware of that.
Ditka
stuff.
Was, you know, Ditka was Ditka. I mean, he was.
Hurricane Ditka, right?
Oh, yeah. We did
Which is better? I'm sorry. I don't need to do the bit with you right now, but go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no. Ditka was like, we had done, they had actually created a movie version of that skit.
Yeah.
It was going to be a full length movie, but then what happened is Chris Farley passed away.
Oh.
And it was so much, he was so much a part of it. That they thought we were not going to. But what we did for charity is we did a version of it in Chicago live.
Of the movie?
Well, yeah, you know, of the movie version. You know, just doing it.
The table read. Sure.
So we had Rob Smigel, who created the thing, and myself, and a few of the actors, and George Wendt, and myself, and Ditka. So we had Ditka in, because the basis of the movie was that it ended with we get a school bus and we jump into the Indianapolis 500. It was totally ridiculous. But Ditka was involved in the first one. But Ditka being Ditka, we were doing two performances, and the money was going to charity. We had a full house at this theater in Chicago. We take a break. We take the dinner break. Ditka doesn't show up after the dinner break. And then they figured out that he just kind of forgot that there was going to be a second show. Luckily, I think there was a pitcher for the White Sox that was in the audience at the second show. We drafted him to fill Ditka's spot.
No kidding.
Oh, yeah. But that was Mike. I mean, Mike was like, you know, we talked to him later. Was like, oh, yeah, that's right. It was the second thing. It was with the wife. We went out for a steak and we, whatever. But God, I loved him to death. And the perfect coach for the 85 Bears.
For the perfect time, right?
For the perfect time.
Sweetness, your favorite? Is he the favorite? Is he the best for you?
God, yeah. I mean, he was... You know, yeah, I mean,
as special as it comes,
and the fact that he, you know, and you know, too bad he couldn't be around to celebrate his achievements now. But that's, again, that's, That's the Chicago way. You know, you do it, and then you're out, and that's that.
Joe Mantegna here on the Rich Eisen Show. So you've got you have a podcast called Hollywood and Ivy. Is that what you're doing? A show you're doing?
No, it's actually a show. It's on the Marquee Channel, which handles the Cub games. Mm-hmm. It's called Hollywood and Ivy. What we do is I co-produce the show, mm-hmm. and we interview celebrity Cub fans.
Mm-hmm.
So we've had people on it like Bob Odenkirk, Bonnie Hunt, Gary mm-hmm. Sinise, Gary Cole. We got Bill Hader's going to be doing it. Vince Vaughn's going to do it. Jim Belushi's going to do it. We've got all these different guys lined up.
Fantastic.
So it's really interesting because they just talk about, you know, just growing up being a Cub. I found out Bill Hader was a Cub fan. I did a couple episodes of Barry.
You were great on that,
man. Thank you. I mean, I love doing it.
I was just one of those, what's Joe Mantegna doing on that?
Not a stretch to play myself, though. It was okay. You know, that's pretty good. But in talking to Bill, you know, and he's, you know, his company's even called something like Thunder Productions because he's, you know, Oklahoma City, the whole Oklahoma thing.
Yeah.
And I can relate to that because my father was actually born in Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
And I brought that up and we're talking. Then he said something to the effect of, yeah, but, you know, actually I'm a Cubs fan. I said, you're a Cubs fan? Then he explained to me that he grew up in Oklahoma, but only after his dad, his family had moved there from, and his dad being a Cubs fan from Chicago. So Bill's going to do the show because he's Oklahoma Thunder fan for basketball, but a big, huge Cubs fan for baseball.
I assume you've done the seventh inning stretch, right? You've done the.
Oh, I think Tom Dreesen and I, we're kind of neck and neck for throwing out the first pitch and seeing in the seventh.
He came in. When did Tom come in? During the summer, right? He came in during the summer. The stories he told.
Yeah, well, I've done it 12, 15 times, throwing out the first pitch, singing the seventh. The most memorable time for me is I did it for the game that Kerry Wood struck out 20 batters.
Whoa.
And that was just the luck of the draw. I happened to be in Chicago. The Cubs called and said, hey, you want to throw out the first pitch this week? I said, yeah, I'll do that Thursday game. You know, and it turned out it was a little rainy, not many people there, you know, Houston Astros, Cubs. Next thing you know, and I throw out the first pitch. Kerry Wood signs, dates the ball.
Get out of here.
Yeah.
And then struck out 20 guys.
Then strikes out 20 guys. And when I sang the seventh inning stretch, I ended it by saying, go, Kerry, because at that time, I think he had something like 16.
Yeah.
And then the guys had me stay in the booth, you know, the radio booth, and I called like the seventh and eighth inning with them.
Get out of here.
And then they gave copies. All the season ticket holders the next year all got like, you know, CDs of that whole game. And so you can hear me on there going, 18, call Kerry, 19. And yeah, it was pretty cool.
That's it that day.
There we go. There I am. There it is.
Having big a photograph.
Day.
Look at that right there. Was Harry Carey still around at that time?
No, Harry wasn't done. Yeah, this was after Harry had passed.
He had passed.
And that's why they were kind of like rotating different kind of, you know, celebrities to come do that.
You meet him? You got a good Harry Carey
I did. Story? I did a Harry. I did one time when I you know, sang the seventh. I did, you know, go up there, hung in the booth with Harry for a little bit. But
when you do the seventh inning stretch, you have to do a Harry Carey, right? You get a one and a two.
Oh, yeah, you do. We still do. You go one, a two, and a yet, you know, and all that. You know, and hopefully have a glass of beer next to you.
Of course, I met him one time. I was a graduate student at Northwestern in the Medill School of Journalism.
Right.
And I covered, I think it was Jim Riggleman or Tom Treblehorn had just been named a manager.
Right.
And it was a morning press conference, okay, like 11 a.m. And I showed up to Wrigley Field. And I was early because, you know, I'm an enterprising, you know, reporter, student. I had a press pass, which was awesome. I get to go to Wrigley Field. Get out of here. Showed up in the press conference. There was only one guy who was already there, a Bloody Marian. Harry Carey.
Of course.
And he was, I think there were a few sheets already in the wind,
Breakfast
sir.
Of Champions, of course. You know.
I love it. Fantastic. Joe Mantegna, I've got a couple more questions for you. Fat Tony, who is this based on here? What do we got? What do you got, Fat Tony?
Fat Tony, you know, was Godfather 3 had just come up. This was early 1991.
Yeah.
When I get the call saying, hey, The Simpsons, which had only been on, this was their third season.
Yes.
Are interested in you playing this character, Fat Tony. And they send me the script, and I think, okay, it's this kind of mob guy from that world. But I'm out playing Joey Zaza at the time in Godfather, and I'm thinking, well, I don't want to come in and do that character. I mean, that's kind of weird. Mm-hmm. It was like, you know, I'll be getting calls from, you know, Puzo and Coppola saying, what are you doing? And I'm thinking, but I like the idea and I love the way the character was written. So I show up and I think, okay, what kind of voice should I give it so I don't sound like Joey Zaza? Then I remember my dear Uncle Willie, who'd been my travel partner, you know, since I was in my early 20s, because my dad passed away when I was in my early 20s.
Yeah.
And so my Uncle Willie was kind of like my guy right up until he passed, you know, in his 90s. But Uncle Willie talks like this. This is his voice. This is, you know, that was Willie, you know. And so I'm thinking to myself, I'm just getting ready to start doing the episode here with the whole cast of The Simpsons, and I'm thinking, I'm going to just do Willie and see if anybody stops me, you know. So I start doing the lines like, yeah, okay, oh, this guy's over there. And blah, 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 blah. Nobody says anything. I'm thinking, all right, so far so good. I'll just do it. You know. And I do the episode, and then a few weeks later I get a call. Hey, will you be interested in doing that guy again? We kind of like that character. Yeah, sure, I'll do it again. And of course, Willie got a big kick out of it. Next thing I know, like I say, I'm now in year 31, I believe, I guess, if you do the math. Yeah, there we go. And Fat Tony and I have a very strong bond here.
So you're doing your old Uncle Willie?
Oh, yeah, I still do Uncle Willie. In fact, I brought him with me to one of the recording sessions, like maybe year 15 or something. He happened to be visiting me in Chicago, from Chicago. And I brought him to the studios and said, hey, everybody, I want you to meet somebody.
Yeah, how you doing? How you doing? I'm Joey's Uncle Willie.
They're all like, oh, my God. Ground zero for Fat Tony. There he is.
Fantastic. Yeah. I love it. And what was it like to be called up by, I imagine, Coppola or Puzo or whoever to say, would you like to be part of The Godfather Part
3? That was pretty amazing. And I'll tell you one funny little bit about that.
Yes.
I knew I was up for the part for Joey Zaza.
Uh-huh.
But it wasn't a done deal yet, but I just knew I was up for it. So it was a Friday, and I remember my wife saying to me, would you go over and pick up this whatever it was, the linguine with clams at the Italian place right around the corner?
Mm-hmm.
So I go over to the restaurant right around the corner where I was living in Studio City at the time. And as I walked in, the owner of the place looks at me and goes, Joe, you son of a gun, you're going to be in The Godfather. And I go, what? He goes, you're going to be in the movie. Come on, don't give me that. You're going to be in The Godfather. I said, I knew I was up for this role, but that was it. And I said, well, you know, what are you talking about? What do you mean I'm in? He goes, my nephew, he works in the office in New York. He said they put your picture up under the wall next to Al Pacino. It's the guy of your name, Joe Montaigne, Godfather. Hey. And I said, well, I don't know. I mean, you know, I don't know about that. You know, I'm just, give me the linguine. I got to go, you know. I run back to the house and, of course, jump on the phone, call my agent. I said, I the pizza guy just told me I'm in the movie. He goes, I was going to call you. I was just going to call you. We just got the call. Because literally, the nephew was working in the casting office in New York. And once they make those decisions, that's what they do. They put they put on a wall all the characters that are going to be in the movie. And so he calls his uncle right away.
Yeah.
And of course, before anybody calls me. So I'm thinking, this is pretty good. Maybe it's a good sign that the pizza guy's letting me know I'm playing this role before anybody else does.
So. Did Brando find out from his pizza guy?
I don't know.
Is that how it all works?
You never know. I don't know.
Go find a pizza guy to let him know.
I'm glad it wasn't going to pick up like Chinese, though, or some other kind of food. I think it was apropos that it would be Italian.
Let the calzone out of the bag. Yeah, you wouldn't have known, or you would not have known about somebody who didn't know the nephew on the inside. No. I mean, and then just being on the set with Pacino and Coppola had to have been for you at the time, too.
Yeah,
I mean, you've obviously done Mammoth and done so many great things.
The whole experience. I remember when I first arrived, because we shot for a long time in Rome.
Mm-hmm.
And when I got to the Cinecittà studio, which is legendary anyway, you know, with Fellini and all of that history, I remember getting to the studio the first day. And, you know, sound stages, as you know, there's these huge buildings with big, thick doors to soundproof them. So they say, oh, you go through that big, so, you know, it's that stage door, and that's where you should go. You know, AD will meet you to bring you to, you know, to the where you got to go. And I remember pushing. So here I'm in Rome. I get to the sound stage door. As I push the door open, all of a sudden I hear the strains of music coming from inside, and it was the orchestra rehearsing for the scene of, because the movie opens with this kind of like a party scene. And as I push the door, I'm hearing the orchestra playing da 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 da. And of course, you've heard this at every kid's birthday party and weddings and stuff all these years prior. And now I'm thinking, this is not a tape. This is not the radio. This is not a party.
It's the real
this
deal.
Is the orchestra who's actually playing that song for this movie, which is going to be the next installment of The Godfather. And I'm thinking, as my friend Vinny Guastafaro told me when I got the role, he says, hey, man, you're going to be in the Italian Star Wars. And I thought, hey, yeah, I guess I am. I guess that's
a hell of a, true. Hell of a cantina, no doubt about it.
Right.
And then for Criminal Minds, every time you think you're out,
they pull me back in. That's right.
Pretty much. That was a spinning curveball in the zone. Criminal Minds Evolution premieres with two episodes on Thanksgiving Day, Thursday, November 24th, exclusively on Paramount Plus. If you wouldn't mind, I'm going to ask you to do something that might be a little out of character for you. But we have asked Bears fans who have been calling into this program to just scream the word Eberflus at the top of their lungs.
Eberflus?
Yeah, the name of your coach. Just to see if it helps you feel better about your team.
Eberflus, huh?
Yeah. Just if you wouldn't mind, just scream.
Just like, screaming it.
Give me your best Joe Montana sort of from the gut. Here we go.
Okay.
Go for it.
I'm gonna give it with a little spin to it.
Go for it.
Eberflus.
Ladies and gentlemen,
you figure out where that's coming from.
Is that a Fat Tony Eberflus? Is that
I'm not saying.
Thank you, sir. Greatly appreciated. At Joe Montana on both Twitter and Instagram. Criminal Minds Evolution. Make it part of your Thanksgiving Day amongst all the football. And then if not, save it and then we'll stream it because it's going to be right there on Paramount Plus. New episodes will drop weekly on Thursdays. I love when you come on, man.
Rich, the fact that the Roku channel, that little block on your mic is purple and white, makes me think the Northwestern influence.
There it is. Yes.
There you go. I picked up on that.
And my sweater, this there was totally go. Not planned.
I picked up.
Very honestly. John Montana, you're right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Back with the Week 9 preview in a moment. Let's talk Sleep Number, people, because quality sleep is so essential. That's why the Sleep Number smart bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, and the same thing for your partner, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side, helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature, quiets your snores or your partner's? Sleep Number does that. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70. 10 numbers apart, but it truly is the world of difference. The Sleep Number sleep that you get is unbelievable. You will love it. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now you could save 50%. That's 50%. On the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people. Or as you might know from their jingle, O-O-O O'Reilly Auto Parts. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offers friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs. Because you know when you need your car fixed, you need somebody who knows what they're talking about and is helpful, has a smile on their face, and gets you back on the road. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you just find the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fix, or a quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you will find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts knowledgeable, helpful, and the best of all, friendly. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, Terrestrial Radio Network. Fun stuff with Joe Montana right there, man.
So good.
I mean, he's so many. We didn't even scratch the surface on David Mamet. That's part of the reason why is if you can't curse, it's difficult to talk David Mamet. You know what I mean? Like if we have guardrails about, you know, audiences and earmuffs and things like that. If you could work blue, then you got to talk David Mamet, you know? So, yeah, that's perhaps why I kind of steered a little bit clear of that. His assistant was with him and met him in the back. He says to me, first thing he says to me.
Not hello, not hi.
Doesn't say hello.
Wow.
Says to me.
To me.
You still think the Raiders are going to win the AFC West? And my response to that was, Chiefs fan, right? What do you think? Chiefs fan. Yeah.
Hey, you put yourself out there, man.
Did Stone Street send you?
You put yourself out there.
I sure did. And you know what? I'm going to keep doing it. I'm not going to stop.
I would recommend.
Well, I'll stop
that
with the Raiders, but I'm not going to stop. I'm not going to stop, man.
Yeah, look, you were right about the Warriors. You missed on the Raiders. It happens.
You know, I'm not going to stop.
Can't stop.
Given my
stop.
Opinions, but it is still. It's coming close with each passing loss. To the worst take I've ever had in the 8-plus year history of this show. Currently threatening your clubhouse leader, which is the runner-up from the NBA bubble championship run. The Miami Heat should not break that team up to trade for Giannis Antetokounmpo, because at the time it was possible that he wasn't going to go back to Milwaukee. And I said, hang on to Tyler Hero. Do not trade any of your young stars.
I mean, Hero looks great this year.
Yeah. And it was funny. Just to reiterate, because again, we might have a new Roku audience. The number of times that I kept doubling down, I was so sure of myself and would ask every NBA expert or analyst about that theory. And the number of times it was shot down, and I still kept going. I think it was Richard Jefferson.
Yeah, he just started laughing.
Whose reaction was so bad for my opinionating. That's when it finally sunk in. I might have been off on it. That's how sure I am about it. And that's how sure I was. Davante Adams, Chandler Jones being mixed to a team that had a really good season despite an incredible amount of adversity. With Josh McDaniels. We even heard Darren Waller say, I've got red zone plays for me now. I heard that. I'm like, oh, great. Does that mean he was that good when he didn't have red zone plays for him? Like Gruden didn't have any dialed up for him? Like, what does that mean? I even said, that's great, too. I'm so right. Yeah. So that's how it's greeted. So I'm like, you know what? Part of me also, and I'll admit it.
Respected it.
Oh, of course I did.
Yeah.
No, but part of me was also like, okay, so you heard it.
Just the spec is real.
That's a new drop from Tyreek Hill in hour two. The disrespect is real.
Just the spec is real.
There it is. When he said that he would do my charity run and give me a 30-yard head start. Laughed about it and said the disrespect is real.
He said 30 after you... had
like
offered 20.
Yeah.
And he kind of like
he upped
a little bit further.
He's a confident guy.
Yeah.
I think.
I mean, I get it.
He's in the same way that I am about my takes. Another thing I have in common with the cheetah.
Can we just say this, though? Your Giannis take, I think that's the Belichick day by day when I said that it reached the precipice.
Yes.
I think you're don't trade for Giannis. That's your peak, right? Because I don't think you can ever say anything. It's Giannis.
The Raiders winning the division and then being as bad as they are now.
And
the Chiefs look as good as they ever have. Come on now.
It's Giannis. You look at the man. He passes every eye gate that there is. Look at him. And you said no.
At the time, just so everyone understands, this was before Giannis won a championship.
Yeah.
This is when we were wondering if he wanted to even stay there, if the Bucks had the right guys around him, if this was the right place for him. Okay? I was wondering if that was part of the problem and if he was part of the problem, and I was very, very, very stupid.
I'm just saying. I don't think you're going to talk.
I shouldn't even say those words because that can be memed against me.
Am I reading this right?
Yeah. Another new drop. Well done.
Should I put out a poll or should I not?
Don't put out a poll.
I love the polls.
I do not want any friendly fire.
Pause.
Okay? Do not use any of our plans. I've already made a culprit. How many more times can I say it?
I know.
We're on Raiders Nation Radio, one of our tremendous partners and affiliates of the Rich Eisen Show Terrestrial Radio Network. Las Vegas, are you with me? The autumn wind is pissing me off. So, week number 9, I want to talk about some games that intrigue me. You want to give me some music?
Yes,
I like the music. It gets me in the mood. Here's a game that's leaping out at me because it involves a first place team hosting an above 500 team. You look around, there's not a lot of those in the NFL right now. How about the Chargers at the Falcons? How about that? Can the Falcons?
I like this game.
Can the, because the Rams play the Bucs later on. So the Falcons can put a score on the board that Tom Brady, when he's out strolling the turf in Tampa before the game with the Rams coming in, he'll look up there and see that the Falcons won. Am I really saying this into a microphone? And the answer is yes. Can the Falcons put the pressure on the Bucs to keep pace? I'm saying those words because they're real. And for Atlanta, they're spectacular. And then the Chargers are coming off a bye. And it's one of those early window games for a West Coast team. It ain't easy, but the Chargers coming off a bye. Is this the most Chargers thing of 2022, of all the Chargers things that can happen? That they're more banged up coming out of a bye than they were going in? Because Keenan Allen was trending in the right direction, and he had a setback. And Austin Eckler, maybe they're just sitting him down to make sure that he's not going to be hurt for Sunday. I don't know. But we'll see. Let's hope that Herbert, with the week off, the ribs have actually healed, and let's see what that game looks like. I'm eager to see that. And then there's 8-1 Eastern games, by the way. 8 of them. How about the Vikings at the Washington Commanders? I just went higher register there. Because it's fascinating what location means, right? Falcons are 4-4. They're in first. Commanders are 4-4. They're in last. And Heinicke has been hitting people since he... He's just got to be sitting there going, what were you doing going for Wentz? What were you doing? What were you doing? I came off the couch to start a playoff game for you a couple years ago and damn near knocked Tom Brady off his horse on his way to winning a championship. What are we doing? I was here all along, and they've won a couple in a row. They're 4-4, and do not pay attention to that ownership sale in the corner. Let's talk football with them. And here come the Minnesota Vikings at 6-1. Yet another, like, are we going to see the Commanders are probably going to be like, get out of here. Are we going to see at some point the fact that Kevin O'Connell coached for Sean McVay, who used to coach for Washington? At the same time, two other terrific head coaches used to coach. And it's Kirk Cousins now, who used to quarterback for him. Are we going to have this whole business? And you can't call it a Kirk Cousins revenge game, folks, because the number of times that the Washington at the time pre-football team, Washington team, didn't believe in him, it came in the form of a guaranteed payment that rivals Gerrit Cole's annual salary. So you can't say, like, oh, they didn't believe in him, so he's going to show them, because their disbelief in him led to him being generationally enriched in a way that only Major League Baseball aces get paid. But that said, let's see if the Vikings can knock off the Commanders. Is Chase Young going to be back for this game? I know he was cleared to return to practice. Might be too early. But let's see if the Washington Commanders can win their third in a row, knock the Vikings down a peg, or the Vikings can say, yeah, that was a nice two-game winning streak you had.
Chase Young not playing.
But he's not playing. Okay. So top of the NFC North right there. And those are two early season or early window games I'm looking forward to. There's only two late window games. They both interest me personally because they involve the two teams that I'm calling their game in Munich the following week. It's the Seahawks and the Bucks. The Seahawks are at the Cardinals. How about this one? This one's going to be great. This is going to be all sorts of weird craziness in this game. Don't you feel it? Don't you feel it?
Yep.
Geno versus Kyler.
Yep.
Okay. Can Kenneth Walker run all over the Arizona Cardinals in this one? They need it, man, because the Cardinals are sitting there right now at 3-5 going into week 9, and 3-6 losing to the then 6-3 Seattle Seahawks would put the Red Sea, if you will, on red alert. They need this one. You got to win your home games in division, and they've already lost to the Rams in week 3, and the San Francisco 49ers are coming on their home game against San Francisco in week 11 is in Mexico City. They've got Seattle, then they're at the Rams here in the Rams house where their season came crashing down last year, and then they're in Mexico City against San Francisco. This is a huge three-game stretch, and then, of course, Seattle could just say, everybody keep doubting us. Geno is like, I'm cooking. I'm the reigning Offensive Player of the Month for the NFC in October. How about that?
That's wild.
So, can Seattle go into Munich at 6-3, sending Arizona into a 3-6 record going into their visit to the Rams' house before playing the Niners in Mexico City? Big one. And then, of course, there's the Rams and the Bucks. The last two Super Bowl champions, one is the defending one, and obviously Brady's the one who won it at home against the Rams. The last two Super Bowl champions with home wins in their buildings for the Super Bowl. At a crossroads. No two ways about it. 3-4, Los Angeles, 3-5. Tom Brady and the Bucks. Somebody's got to come away with this W, and man, whoever does come away with the W feels good about themselves entering the second half of the season, and the other one is looking around at the man in the mirror as well and saying, what is happening to us? And it's all on the line, and it looks like it's going to be Romo and Nance with the call, the whole country, most of the country watching it on CBS, by the way. Available here on Roku.
Tony?
So you can watch that game right here on Roku. It'll be great. I can't wait for it. I don't know how much more setup I need. You asked me earlier what's more likely, and I said it's more likely that Stafford has the form of a Super Bowl quarterback than Brady's Super Bowl quarterback form. And the only reason why I said that is there's only one team with protection problems that's going to have Aaron Donald roll downhill at them, and that's the Bucks. So, there's that. Those are the games I'm looking forward to. You got Titans Chiefs, obviously.
Titans Chiefs. But that's a...
on NBC.
It looks like a Malik Willis.
Is it going to be him?
The spread is 12.5. So, you know, not really expecting a good game.
It's going to be a game time decision.
Varsity's off this week, so that's cool.
No, Patriots play at
Varsity's
1:00.
Off this
Yeah, Varsity
week.
Has a bye week.
Patriots
this week.
Play at 1 o'clock.
No, that's JV. Right
there. Put up the Cowboys schedule for this guy. Let's put it up. Let's talk about it.
Are
you on track? What did you say? 11-6?
I've got it right here. You know where I'm going, Chris.
It was 12-5 or 11.
Rich, we've been at this a long time, buddy.
Yeah.
I've got it right here. TJ Jefferson, at this point in time, he had the Cowboys starting with 4 straight wins before losing to the Rams, beating the Eagles, and then losing to the Lions.
Oh,
that was a little
And
off.
Beating the Bears. He had the Cowboys at 1-2, 3-4, 5-6-2, which is exactly their record. Just a different road.
Holler at your boy.
Different road, but yeah, he's still
nailed
it.
I mean, you know what I'm saying?
To use your fantasy analogies, right church, wrong pew, right?
I think it's still the right.
Or different pew, right church. You're 6-2 at the bye
right
week.
Church, yes.
You had them losing the next two, though, at Green Bay and at Minnesota.
I'll stand by the Green Bay thing.
You had them winning against the Giants on Thanksgiving and then beating the Colts.
Sure.
You have them losing to the Texans.
I might want to change that.
You have them winning at Jacksonville, losing to the Eagles.
Did I say that?
Yes. And then beating Tennessee and the Commanders. You have them 11-6.
I might want to change that.
You might, because at this point,
I think it was peer pressure to go
and finishing 5-4 right now after starting 6-2 will not be the wind. No. That's not going to be the wind beneath your wings, sir.
No, I think that I was feeling pressure because originally I think I said like 14-2, but then I had to take it back.
Can I get NFL Films music, please?
Yes, sir.
All right, let's do it.
Do what?
This.
Oh.
Finish it. This.
Let's do it.
Let's Who, me? Go.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. You.
At Green Bay off the bye week. At Green Bay off the bye week.
Ugh, that's going to be an L.
You think
really?
So?
Stop
I just
it.
I know our history. I know my team's tendencies. I know Aaron Rodgers treats us like a L.
Wow.
Like, you know.
At Minnesota.
Oh, that's a dub.
Okay.
Really?
At home for Minnesota? The Giants on Thanksgiving.
Come on, bro. We're going to eat that day.
Home for the Colts.
We might even have to show up for that.
Home for the Texans.
Cooper Rush, go ahead and start that game. We're going to save that.
Home for at Jacksonville.
Hey, no offense to Travis ATM, but that's a dub.
Home for the Philadelphia Eagles.
No, I did say we were going to split. That was my thought process. So I kind of hope they are undefeated so we can throw salt in their season. So...
You've got them, okay, at Tennessee on the Thursday night. Short week to kick off week 17. It's Al Michaels' finale in the booth for this season.
Can't come fast enough for Al.
By the way, it's at Tennessee, where he can get all the short ribs and steak he wants. He'll be very happy about
that. No veggies whatsoever.
I think there is a Four Seasons there for him too.
No green.
All right,
we can't disrespect Al Michaels on his last day.
Win,
of course.
And then at the Commanders.
Guess what? We're gonna mess around and take an L in this game.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you've got them losing to Green Bay and then ripping off seven straight before losing to the Commanders.
Yes.
Okay, so that's a 6-2 start and then a 7-2 finish. He's got them 13-4 now.
Sounds right.
I'll take the under there.
Okay.
Sounds right to me.
Holler at your boy.
Well done.
Hold on, that's getting a poll question.
Well done. That's your mulligan.
Hey, don't hate the player.
I like this. Maybe next week we'll each do mulligans for our teams. Did I do the Jets? Did I ever do
that? And also remember, Chris, he made me pick
that. I never did the Jets.
I said 10-7.
He made me do that schedule.
You did the
July.
Patriots, though. Chris, you know what you had the Patriots coming on, going into their bye?
What did I say?
5-4.
5-4.
And if they win?
5-4.
Yeah.
Booyah.
You have a different path, though. You had them losing to Miami, which is true. Beating the Steelers, which happened. Losing to the Ravens, which happened. Then at Green Bay, a loss.
That happened.
And then you had a win against the Lions, win against the Browns, win against the Bears. Ugh.
Oh,
you
God,
had them beating the Jets and then losing to the Colts. So
I was right there. I got the first four right.
You were right there. And I was smart enough to not do it at all for the Jets.
Yeah. made me
What's
do it
the
in
name
July?
Of the show? Okay. We'll take a break. Chris Brockman's going to make you money.
I'm on fire,
money,
people.
Money.
I feel like
we should change our number to a 900 number.
Well,
right
he needs right help. Right,
what, are we going to sell gold when we come back too? All right.
Yeah, silver's in this.
Don't go anywhere. It's that time of year, people. Spring has sprung. And that means spring cleaning, or at least the partner in your life is demanding that you do it. Whether that means stocking up on cleaning supplies or swapping out your winter clothes for new spring clothes, make sure you're using Ibotta and get real cash back with every purchase. Ibotta is a free app that gives you the most cash back every time you shop on hundreds of items from groceries to beauty supplies to toys. The average Ibotta user earns $256 per year. That could cover the cost of an entire shopping trip, that flight you've been eyeing, or the fancy dinner you've been craving. Join the over 50 million users and earn cash back every time you shop from over 2,700 brands and retailers. And right now, Ibotta is offering our listeners $5 for just trying Ibotta by using the code EISEN when you register. Just go to the App Store or Google Play Store and download the free Ibotta app to start earning cash back and use my code EISEN. That's IBOTTA in the Google Play or App Store and use my code EISEN.
Afford Anything talks about how to avoid common pitfalls, how to refine your mental models, and how to think about how to think.
Paula, while certainly you can mess up on $1 million a year, it is far less likely than it is on $30,000 a year.
Right.
I would meet wonderful people that were struggling with a budget that was super tight. It was 100%. You need to make more money.
Make smarter choices and build a better life.
Afford Anything, wherever you listen.
You can listen to the NFL and the NFL app on WestwoodOneSports.com via Westwood One Station Streams or by asking Alexa to open Westwood One Sports. If it's the NFL, it's on Westwood One.
I just checked again. I'm still permanently suspended.
I don't know what's going on with that.
Nobody's playing for the Warriors tonight, Rich.
What do you mean?
They've lost four. I think they're taking a rest day because it's back-to-back. No Clay, no Wiggins, no Steph.
What's
happening? No Draymond. They're tanking for Crown Vic.
No, they're not.
If they get Crown Vic, we quit.
They were up by how much in Orlando before losing last night? 16?
Let's not talk about it. Your boy lost a parlay there.
Who's my boy?
Him.
Oh.
It's your boy.
Yeah, they were up. They were up by 16.
It's your boy.
Yeah, Jalen Suggs just suddenly couldn't miss in the fourth quarter.
No, I know. I think I'm going against Jalen Suggs in fantasy.
He's good.
So Jordan Poole's playing tonight, though, right?
Yeah, Poole's going to have like 40 probably.
There you go. Back-to-backs.
Don't forget to
start.
I
don't get it. It's just like, why does the NBA schedule back-to-backs in November if every team is just going to basically say, these games don't matter now?
And they're not going to, yeah.
Right.
Stupid.
Okay. It is now time to turn to, because again, we're a show with a ton of access to be very honest. So for Chris Brockman's gambling advice, which I do not, as an NFL employee, condone at all, we have none other than NBC News Emeritus Tom Brokaw introducing this segment, Sneaky Good Games. Hit it.
Here's Chris Brockman with Sneaky Good Games, contests likely to surprise you with their heretofore undisclosed competitive value.
How about that? How about that? I still can't believe it.
It's great.
You know what? He's got to be sitting there thinking, I'm glad I did that, knowing that Chris Brockman's acumen is now finally matching my gravitas.
Fire.
Or something like that.
That's a lot of big words you just threw out
there. 2 weeks ago, 3-1 last week. We're 18-11-1 overall.
What's happening?
I mean, come on.
What's going on?
Well, he couldn't be as bad as he was last year, so he flipped it. Actually, and now he's crushing it.
I finished strong last year. Yeah. I've been carrying this for about a whole season now. All right, look. Chargers have all kinds of trouble, okay? They've got Keenan Allen out, Mike Williams out. Eckler's going to be questionable. Just take the Falcons at home and feel good about it.
How much is it?
Plus three, field goal. I think the Falcons win the game, so that's why I'm going to take the 3 points.
Okay.
No Jonathan Taylor and a rookie quarterback going against Bill Belichick on the road. Okay, give me the Patriots by all of the points.
It's not just any team, too. They kind of don't like the Colts, do they?
Kind of don't like the Colts.
Don't want to put it on them.
Some stuff a few years ago.
Something happened?
Something happened. Like my record, it's inflated. Carolina and Cincinnati. A lot of points in this game. We saw what P.J. Walker could do last week on the road in Atlanta. And Cincinnati, look, they really need a bounce back in the worst way. So I expect a lot of points in this game. Give me over the 42.5. And I think Seattle wins the game outright in Arizona. They move at 6-3, which is a complete opposite of what they said they were going to be coming into the year when I had them 32 out of 32 and first on the clock. Kenneth Walker III is my Lord and Savior at this point in the fantasy season. Give me the Seahawks to win the game outright. If you want to do a nice little money line underdog parlay, I like Falcons. I like Seahawks. Take it and feel good about it. We're going 4-0.
I mean, so the Falcons are leading their division. The Chargers are banged up.
Yeah.
The Seahawks are leading their division. And both the Falcons and the Seahawks
are getting points. Correct.
Am I to understand that?
You are understanding that correctly, sir.
Am I reading? By the way, I think both drops from Tyreek Hill that we now have from his second hour appearance work. Include you got both of them right
am
here?
Am I reading the chart?
There you go. Thank you, Tyreek. And then the other one is...
The disrespect is real.
Yeah, the disrespect is real.
Disrespect is real.
He also got this, too.
What are we doing? Eberflus.
Don't love the Eberflus this week. Stay away.
Why?
Oh,
I thought you meant Joe Montana now.
I'm just about in the game on Sunday. Miami's coming in. Stay away from that.
We now have Ashton Kutcher and Joe Montana doing the Eberflus.
We do. Keller might not know that drop.
I see it. I don't know if I trust it.
Go ahead, trust it. That's it.
Okay.
Why would you not trust it?
Because it's Del Tufo.
Del Tufo's labeling. Have you ever seen this?
Never know. You could hit something and suddenly we're playing an OnlyFans account on the Rich Eisen show.
Hey, Joe's over here scratching his head right now.
Well, I'm just saying we're not doing that.
My balls was hot.
Oh, stop it.
We need an Eisen OnlyFans.
No, we don't.
Yeah, why not?
I don't know what you're talking about, sir.
Subscription-based service.
No.
I could talk to me.
I told you, Stuart Scott and I always said we wanted to do a pay-per-view sports center where we could do whatever we wanted.
Do you realize that you'd be living on an island right now as you take it?
I'm glad to be here with you.
I'm glad you're here, too, but you shouldn't be. You should be down in the Turks and Caicos drinking out of a coconut right now.
Hey, the white guy.
Feeling good, TJ.
Looking good, Lewis.
Back to wrap up this show on Roku in a moment.